Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
Today, September 2nd. 2018, the Denver Broncos have done some interesting things. When you cut down to 53, you take a deep breath and you say, wow, I made it. But did you really? The waiver claim is another draft where players who have been thrown to the side can be picked up. None of the Broncos players who were thrown to the side actually were picked up, but the Broncos, well, they moved in a different direction. Paxton Lynch went into Dove Valley, to UC Health Training Center, and not long ago met with Vance Joseph and John Elway. It was a much different meeting today than it was just a couple years ago when he was greeted as the future of the Denver Broncos. He was the number one pick. They traded up for him. He was going to be the answer. And today, he was let go. Claimed off waivers, Kevin Hogan. Kevin Hogan, who had a stellar career at Stanford, just behind John Elway and Andrew Luck in a lot of big-time categories, leading a Stanford team to huge success, partnering with Christian McCaffrey for a great run, and a player who I advocated for strongly a couple of years ago, but he went to the wasteland of Cleveland and got dumped by the Redskins. He is now a Denver Bronco, and with that addition comes subtraction, and Paxton Lynch is no longer a member of the Denver Broncos. I'm D-Mac, and we will hear from all of the hosts, plus we'll hear from you at 303-713-1043 to get your reaction. We are not replaying a college football game, airing infomercials, or putting on financial programming. No, we are on for you live. Mike Evans joins us. Mike, what's your reaction to the news of Paxton Lynch being released? Oh, hold on one second, Mike. Hold on as we get our technical stuff. Mike, it's simply a matter of a button being pushed that I cannot push. Zach Bye is joining us in studio in just a moment, and we open the phone lines for you at 303-713-1043 to get your reaction as well. We appreciate you listening online and live here as we go through what is, I've got to be a little careful with it because it's not a joyous day to see somebody lose their job, but it is a monumental day in terms of the Denver Broncos. Zach is here. Good to see you, Zach. Mike Evans joins us on the phone. Mike, what's your reaction to the news of the day? Mike, are you there?
Yes, you got me?
Yeah, I got you. Go ahead. What's your reaction, Mike?
Well, I think we closed the chapter on the biggest draft bust in the history of the Denver Broncos. That's what this represents. And as somebody that was part of the 422-day-long smear campaign of Paxton Lynch, I'm not exactly heartbroken. I'm excited that they recognize that they have to be in the quarterback development business, and they went out and got in Kevin Hogan, who was a fifth-round pick, somebody that I think fits into that, again, quarterback developmental idea. I advocated the Broncos using a mid-round pick this year in the draft on a quarterback, and in many respects, that's what they've done. They've got Hogan in here along with Chad Kelly, two quarterbacks that they can develop. And in Hogan, you're getting somebody that you know will go about his business seriously, will put in the work. And I think that's ultimately the epitaph, I guess, on Paxton Lynch, is that despite all the promise, despite all the potential, he just never did the things that a pro needs to do to show that he's serious about being the next franchise quarterback of the Denver Broncos. So I was not surprised when he made the initial cut, but with the chance to get a quarterback like Hogan, somebody that they can look at as sort of a semi-veteran slash quarterback that they can continue to develop, not at all surprised by the move.
Zach Bye joins us in studio. Zach, what's your reaction?
It's very similar.
Oh, hold on 1 second. We'll get you. Got to just pot up Zach.
Check.
There you go.
What's up, dude?
Hey.
On a Sunday.
Hey.
Hey, Mike. You know, my reaction is similar to that of our good buddy Mike, in that I believe not only is it one of the great all-time draft busts in the history of the Broncos, but in terms of quarterbacks, quarterback busts in NFL history, when they redo the top 20 list in 10 years, Paxton Lynch will be on the list, and here's why. He was never even given the opportunity to fail. Jamarcus Russell started in 5 times more games than Paxton Lynch. Ryan Leaf started 5 times more games than Paxton Lynch. And the same goes with the, you know, Paxton Lynch started 4 games because the starter couldn't play on that particular day. 4 total games as a first-round draft pick that John Elway, one of the 5 greatest quarterbacks to ever play, moved up in the first round to get. And to have him, the context of him being beat out by multiple 7th-round picks under multiple coaching staffs is so incredibly glaring that I believe I'm not a prisoner of the moment, and I don't think it's hyperbole. I think in a decade, when we look back, should Paxton continue on this path, but certainly as it just relates to the Broncos, will be known as a just classic quarterback bust.
Mike, your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think, and that's, you bring up a good point, Zach, about the guys that beat him out. Look, the Broncos, one thing about the whole Paxton conversation that has always driven me crazy is that the Broncos didn't give him enough of a fair opportunity. That's BS. They desperately wanted him to go out and grab this job. They gave him every opportunity to do so, and he just never went out and did the things necessary despite all the chances that was given to him. And at some point, as an organization, you have to stand for something. You have to stand for some sense of,
I like that,
of responsibility, of credibility, and that if you're not going to go out and earn a job, especially against all those 7th-round people that you're talking about there, then that's on you. And I hate the idea or perception that somehow the Broncos let Paxton Lynch down. That's crap. He let them down. He let himself down.
There was a curious moment yesterday where John Elway said none of the veterans we talked to wanted to come in, which I didn't understand what that meant. Like, you mean to tell me there's unemployed quarterbacks out there that don't want to play for you? That was an interesting statement, to say the least. And then you look at Kevin Hogan himself. Now, I don't think this happens if they don't get Kevin Hogan, by the way, fellas. Let me say it this way. I don't think it happens unless they get a quarterback. It doesn't necessarily have to be Kevin Hogan. But they were down to no free agent quarterbacks wanted to be here, I guess.
Well, wanted to be here now versus wanted to be here maybe a week from now. You know, I think that's the key distinction, because a week from now, you could sign a veteran quarterback and his contract isn't guaranteed for the full season. Now, you know, unless you were willing to come in, I think the Broncos were looking at, like, or some of these veteran quarterbacks were saying, all right, are you gonna bring me in and sign me now, or are you waiting to see if you can get me a week or two from now? If you're
good
looking
point
to do that a week or two from now, well, okay, we'll talk then. But if you're not willing to sign me right now, then what's the point?
That's an excellent point, Mike. And you know what? I bet you anything you're right about that. That's probably what was going on. So Paxton Lynch may have survived this. May have survived week one, but it also tells you that the Broncos weren't willing to go that far, too, that they thought Kevin Hogan was just as valuable as, I'm just going to speculate, a guy like Matt Moore.
So, and this is, I think this is important, because I have a side-by-side. Have you guys seen Kevin Hogan play football in the NFL?
You've got to understand something, Zach.
He is.
Nobody was banging the table more than, Mike, I was Mr. Khaki Pants with Kevin Hogan a couple years ago.
So, oh, my God. I was waiting for the Hogan Manifesto to come out.
I was banging the table so hard to take 2 quarterbacks, just like the Redskins did when they took RG3 and Kirk Cousins. And I said it a million times. So in terms of Kevin Hogan in the NFL, you know, it's been a rocky road, no doubt about it.
Oh, it's been nothing but rocks. He's been downright awful. He's a bad football player.
Yeah, but you got to understand who he's. Whoa.
I have
Hold
this,
on, Zach.
I
has he been playing for?
The Cleveland Browns.
Okay, how are they as an organization, as a team?
I'm just telling you, Kevin Hogan's a member of the Broncos because he's a member of the Broncos and the Browns didn't want him. I'm looking
Good.
At his side-by-side
stats. You need to tell me, an organization that's not smart enough to know how to win more than one game in 32 efforts let go of a guy, and that's supposed to be a negative on that guy? Please.
D-Mac, I'm just telling you, completion percentage worse than Paxton Lynch. Almost twice as many interceptions. The same amount of touchdowns, worse yard per average. I mean, there you can't point to a
bad
metric.
Team,
sure.
Bad coaches,
sure.
Bad system. If I've heard one thing, Mike Evans, from all of our ex-NFL guys that we work with, it's that a coach can ruin anything. And tell me a team that's worse as an organization than the Cleveland Browns.
I won't disagree with you there. I'm just saying that it just shows you how they felt about Paxton, the fact that Kevin Hogan would bump him. Kevin Hogan can't get a job right now. I mean,
I totally disagree with you. You don't know where he was going to wind up on the waiver wires. The Broncos had
it wasn't as a backup, I'll tell you that.
The Broncos had the I know what you're trying to say. Look how bad Paxton Lynch is, but you're ripping on my guy Kevin Hogan, which I'm not going to take. Mike, we got to take a break here. Why don't you what are your thoughts here as we wrap it up with you?
Well, real quick, to Zach's point, that you know, the Paxton Lynch is going to get another opportunity out there because there's another team that had a high enough draft grade on him that they'll give him a shot. The Broncos liked Hogan coming out of college, so they're looking at it, you know, sort of the same way that, hey, let's bring him in. Let's see if he can get some football rehab and see what that means for Hogan because we liked him coming out of Stanford. I think there's also the idea that, hey, look, you know, those numbers that you just mentioned, Zach, are fair, but here's what they know they'll get in Hogan. Is they're going to get a guy that's going to come in and work his butt off and be a pro and study and pay attention.
Yep.
And those are things that they couldn't count on with Paxton.
Mike, well said. Always great to hear from you. This is an occasion where you and I believe, are on the same page.
Yes.
I don't think there's any disagreement
Remarkable.
Here. Remarkable. You know, at the end of the day, I was thinking about Mike. And listen, I love this move. And I would think you would too because, for example, would you rather have Kevin Hogan or Mike White? Kevin Hogan or Laletta? Kevin Hogan or Falk? Kevin Hogan or Mason Rudolph? I mean, I would take Kevin Hogan every single time over those guys, Mike. Would you?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I do like...
You wouldn't? Wait, which one of those guys do you actually like better than Kevin Hogan?
Laletta!
I like Laletta a lot, and I like Mason Rudolph a lot, but that's they're just embarking on their career. He's been in a couple of years, but I do like. I'll leave you with this. I like the fact that the Broncos have held a mirror up to themselves, and they realize that they are still unsettled at the quarterback position, and they are at least giving themselves opportunities to develop guys. And the idea that they would only carry two quarterbacks, I thought was stupid, that they're just not in a position right now to only have two quarterbacks. They have to have three. They have to have a couple that are at least under that developmental type category. That's what they've done. So I like the move.
Great job. Thank you, Mike. We'll listen to you tomorrow morning with Mark Schlereth to get more reaction. We've got David, Megan, and John. We're about to go on Facebook Live. Cecil Lammy will join us after the break. We'll hear from Brandon Stokely and Mark Schlereth, as well as Alfred Williams, Mike Pritchard, everybody on this monumental day where the Broncos move on. Is it the biggest bust of all time? We'll continue right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. D-Mac, Cecil Lammy, Zach Bye. We'll hear from Mike Pritchard shortly. Brandon Stokely will join us. Mark Schlereth, we just heard from Mike Evans. A monumental day where... And Johnny, are we on Facebook Live? Almost. We're getting there. We'll be on Facebook Live here in just a little bit. So you can throw out questions to us there. We have a few folks on hold. Hang on. We'll get to you. Cecil Lammy, what is your reaction to the news that the Broncos have released Paxton Lynch and picked up Kevin Hogan on waivers?
Yeah, this is a quarterback for a quarterback move because they're not fully yet trusting Chad Kelly. That's what it says to me. Because this isn't Paxton Lynch losing his job for Akram Wadley or somebody that was cut at a different position. This is quarterback for quarterback exchange.
I tried to explain that, at least on social media yesterday, that when it came down to the 53rd person, as John Elway explained, it was D'Angelo Henderson, A.J. Johnson or...
What, Jeff Holland?
Jeff Holland.
Yeah.
And this had nothing to do with Paxton Lynch. The Broncos philosophically were going to keep three quarterbacks this year because they did not have somebody developmentally on the practice squad. Teams do that all the time.
Right.
Paxton, because the only reason you have competition at those other wild positions is because of special teams. And if you make a philosophical decision to have three quarterbacks, your quarterback, except for the New Orleans Saints, doesn't play special teams. So this had and there was a little bit of a thing going on in the Twitter sphere yesterday about Mike Kliss saying he's the perfect third-string quarterback, but he was the perfect third-string quarterback.
Well, what else this says is they probably tried to pick up the phone and
sure.
couldn't get any takers. You have a little bit of value overnight to say, we kept him, what can we get? Nobody's biting, you let him go.
Right, because they weren't trying to find a third-string quarterback. What this move with Kevin Hogan is, do we have a better option as a backup quarterback? A.J. McCarron gets dealt to the Raiders. Well, that would have been possibly a good move. Teddy Bridgewater gets dealt. Well, that would have been a good move. And now we find out, I think through what Elway said yesterday, all the other veterans we were considering, you know, they wanted to be signed now, not after week one. John didn't say that, but Mike Evans brought that up. And I think that's the case. Of course, they're going to want the guaranteed money. So John was kind of, that's a very much an Elwayism right there. When he says the guys that we wanted didn't want to come in. Well, they probably didn't want to come in under the terms that you wanted them to come into. So the Broncos had to move forward.
It is interesting when you try to sort of decode some of the stuff that was said yesterday by John. And I think you did a good job of doing it right there, D-Mac. To a degree, a little bit, I shouldn't have been surprised, but when they said they did reach out to veterans, that was a signal to me that Chad Kelly hasn't inspired enough faith to, you know, be the backup quarterback. Maybe you really liked what you saw, but you sort of like held it in a certain regard, but I don't know what else Chad Kelly could have done to be taken more seriously.
Played an NFL game.
Sure. And that's probably what it came down to. But I don't know if this is a good scenario for a veteran backup to, you know, come into after the this whole fan base has gotten behind Chad Kelly. I don't know if that's – if I had options and I was a veteran quarterback, I don't know if this would be a situation I would want to come into.
Elway said yesterday when I asked him the very first question – I don't know if we have the audio or not queued up, but it was the very first question. He said, who wants to go first? I said, I'll go first. Why'd you keep Paxton Lynch? And he brought up game experience. He brought up game experience when talking about Chad Kelly. Chad's done some good things, but he's never played in a regular season game.
Right.
Guess who has? Kevin Hogan.
That's
hasn't looked
right.
real good, but that's who's done it. So that's the decision the Broncos make.
For me, listen, I love Kevin Hogan. I was like all over him. You know, I really watched him a ton because I really love Christian McCaffrey.
There you go.
So
yeah.
When Christian was doing his, you know, Stanford stuff, I mean, I was just on the edge of my seat. Well, right next to him is Kevin Hogan the entire time. And I'm seeing a guy that is smart, athletic, safe with the ball. And I know it's been a rocky road so far for him in the NFL. And I don't know why it went sour for him in Washington. He had a great game against the Broncos. So I'm not exactly sure, although I don't think Washington's going to be all that good of a team this year. I don't know how you guys feel. But for me, this is the absolute perfect situation because nobody is doubting Case Keenum is the starting quarterback. Nobody is sitting here today saying, ah, I can't wait to see Kevin Hogan beat out Case Keenum. Nobody's saying that. I love this quarterback room, and I was banging the table so hard to draft a quarterback because I never believed in Paxton Lynch. I mean, it was clear to me when he was sobbing on the sidelines and unwilling to stand up for his team against the Raiders, this guy was toast. So it was just like just mind-blowing to me when you have an opportunity to develop that quarterback room and you didn't, you still believed in Lynch. And when you didn't draft a quarterback 2 through 7, you didn't believe you still believed in Lynch. It is perplexing to me that it took the Broncos management this long to figure out things that were so obvious.
From what I've heard is that John has gone back and forth many times about Lynch. You know, is he hot? Is he not? Like, hot and cold. So John Elway himself, so many misconceptions. You see it on Facebook or Twitter, like, his ego won't let him get rid of Paxton. Well, he just did. You know, and he's been battling this.
Took him
since
a long
week 17.
Time, yeah, it took
since
him a,
week 17, he's been battling this.
It took him a long time.
Well, you're also seeing this in conjunction with these other moves that are taking a hard look in the mirror. You know, this. You see the way that they've sort of fundamentally tinkered with how they do things. They just ate $4.5 million with Menelik Watson 2 weeks ago. You know, now you're cutting Paxton Lynch. You've cut Isaiah McKenzie and Carlos Henderson. Now whether you bring them back in the practice squad, separate conversation. But actually coming around and saying, you know what? I screwed up. And that takes more strength than being defiant or digging your heels in, saying, I was wrong. And we're going to fix this. Instead of, you know, clinging to the idea that I was right.
Here's another reason why I was just banging the drum so high. And Cecil, you have my back to a certain degree in terms of a high quarterback. Zach, I'm not sure where you fell on this.
I was
going back and forth.
You didn't listen to our show then. I was all in on Case Keenum. Once they established,
so if they want to take a later rounder,
Kalaletta, I was okay.
You were a Chubbaholic then. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm gladly a Chubbaholic.
from Mike Kliss. The lesson, if you want QBs in the first round, you got to go early. These QBs were taken 7 from 32 from 09 to 17. Freeman, Tebow, Locker, Gabbert, Ponder, Tannehill, Whedon, Manuel, Manziel, Bridgewater, Lynch, Mahomes, Watson. There's only one quarterback from that group who won a playoff game. Tebow. So if you need a QB, go early. So I'd still, today is another affirmation. You blew it in the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Because you had a chance to get one of those generational quarterbacks. You had a draft that looks very much like 1983, where there were multiple high-quality guys. I mean, four of the five are going to start. Rosen may be a little bit later now,
right?
But is Allen going to start day one?
It looks like
he should. Yeah.
Is Darnold going to start day one?
Yes. It looks like yeah.
Mayfield probably isn't going to start day one, but that's only because the Browns are idiots, and the Browns just do Brown-like things. When I saw Hugh Jackson on Hard Knocks, like, oh no, like he's not going to get snaps with the ones. That's all for Tyrod. It's just more affirmation how dumb the Browns are. That's all. It's not on Baker Mayfield.
Well, and then you see yesterday, I urged people on Friday, like, hey, watch the Auburn game because that's a first-round quarterback. And, like, that's one of maybe three first-round QBs. So you pass on generational quarterback talent this year. Next year's class isn't that good.
No. Did anybody watch Michigan-Notre Dame? I mean, you know, Shea Patterson, you didn't know how to hydrate before the game? I was proud of Dylan McCaffrey for sure. But that's one of your guys, supposedly. That's your guy right there,
Shea
Patterson.
They should have just kept Dylan in that game. But anyway.
Well, no doubt about it. I don't know why they put him back in. Zach, I know your time is short, so go ahead.
Yeah. One, I disagree with everything you just said about the draft and the quarterbacks. I think the Broncos aren't a great path.
Hold on. Today didn't help straighten that out. Releasing the number, a first-round quarterback today and picking up Kevin Hogan did not straighten that out for you.
Oh, I think those things are totally separate, mutual exclusive.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not. I think the Broncos have a rock-solid starter in Case Keenum. I thought we saw the most that we could have possibly saw from Chad Kelly after never
How
even
long
putting
is Case Keenum's deal?
2 years.
That's rock solid?
D-Mac.
I'll tell you what's rock solid. $90 million guaranteed is rock solid. Let's look at Aaron Rodgers' contract. That's rock solid.
But
a two-year deal where he's the 18th highest-paid quarterback is rock solid?
Are you nuts? You're under the assumption that if he plays well enough, he's going to be here moving forward. I signed a two-year contract. I'm under the assumption that if I keep doing a great job, I'm going to get retained.
Wow, so, look at you, fancy pants, bragging about your contract.
No, I'm just telling you.
Hey, everybody, Zach's got a two-year contract.
Oh my goodness. So that's how I think the Broncos are viewing this thing. That's how I'm viewing this thing. And I think ultimately today is a great day for the Broncos organization. Lose this albatross that has been around your neck. It's been too heavy for too long. It's a good day. And you know what? It's a good day for Paxton, too.
Not to be a total jerk, you signed a two-year contract. I signed a three-year contract. There's something to experience.
Yes, there is.
A Case Keenum is, listen, I think we're more or less on the same page. It's okay. What today is an admission of a horrible mistake in Paxton Lynch. I mean, let's call it what it is.
Agreed.
Today you had to, ego-wise, chomp down on a major bullet right there. Okay?
But what's best for the Denver Broncos? This is the move.
Yeah. Right.
This is what's best.
It just took so much longer than we thought it should take, but it happened today. And by the way, today is much more about Paxton Lynch than Kevin Hogan.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And if everyone could just take 5 seconds, send thoughts, energy, prayers my way. About to go to the doctors for my baby son, 6 weeks old. Hopefully there's not this thing wrong that we think may be wrong.
We got your back, man.
Of course.
We got your back.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Good day.
Thank you, Zach. It's always good to fight with Zach. I love fighting with Zach. Okay. We got you on hold. We'll get you here in a second. Mike Pritchard would join us. Cecil, are you here for the long run?
Yeah.
All right. I love it, my man. Goes back to years and years when Cecil and I, my first shift ever on the Fan. Back in our days of KOA.
Back in the draft. Doesn't this all reflect on the draft? It reflects on the choices, the decisions,
yes.
The different direction the team has made.
Yes. Okay. We're psyched. We're here live. It's not an infomercial. It's not a replay of a college football game. It's Denver Sports Station, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. It's D-Mac with Cecil Lammy reacting to the news today that Paxton Lynch has been cut by the Broncos. Kevin Hogan picked up off waivers. And if you don't understand how waivers go, let me explain it to you. When it is very, this happens every year to one or two guys on the Broncos, and right. It's brutal. You think you've made the 53 because the deadline was 2:00 yesterday. But then everybody gets released, and there's a 24-hour period where the teams are lined up where they more or less drafted. Now, some teams make, you know, changes or trades, so it's not like that. No, it's where you finish. So if you
Broncos at 5.
If you didn't have a first-round draft pick for whatever reason, well, you're back on waivers. It's kind of like fantasy football. It's like
right.
Where you go when a player, you know, you got to claim somebody, you get 24 hours. The Broncos had 5. How many waiver claims can you make, by the way? How many players can you try to claim off waivers? Do you know?
I think it's as many as you want, honestly.
So
you can't do it all at once. You have to do one, and then everyone else goes through.
And how many times does that go? Does it go once, twice, three times?
However,
do you know?
How many times there's people keeping to pick up those players?
Until there's nobody else
left.
Yeah,
and you'd have to have more than 32, so we're not going to ever get to that, like, second round, if you will.
Gotcha. Makes sense. Okay, so the Broncos with the fifth pick off the waiver wires
Right. Claimed
put in for Kevin Hogan, and nobody 1, 2, 3, or 4 put in for Kevin Hogan. We don't know if more teams did put in for Kevin Hogan. You just don't know. You can kind of find that out later, but the Broncos valued Kevin Hogan. That happened, and then Paxton Lynch was told not traded, just released. Alfred Williams. Al, what is your reaction to the news of the day?
Well, I'm glad the Broncos have done the right thing. You know, the purpose of the backup quarterback role is to come in and generate offense if the starter's not there. And if your backup quarterbacks cannot generate offense, then there's no usage for them. That's been my entire argument behind the Paxton Lynch release the entire time I've been talking about it, because there's no growth. And when I say growth, what I mean is you made a mistake last week. You corrected that mistake. You moved on. And that mistake doesn't come back to haunt you time and time again. We just never saw the growth out of Paxton Lynch in that area of growth where he can eliminate mistake and move on and then get to a new mistake and then move on and get to a new mistake. He just never got to that area. And because of that, he's gone.
What do you think? See, the Broncos, John Elway put it out there yesterday, Al, that there were veteran quarterbacks who didn't want to come in. Now, Cecil smartly deciphered that, meaning the Broncos weren't offering him a spot now. They were probably offering those veterans after week one where their contracts weren't guaranteed. Is that how you take that as well?
I take it as the Denver Broncos had a chance to do exactly what the Raiders did and go out and get A.J. McCarron, and they didn't want to waste the draft pick, so they were trying to get somebody on the cheap. I would imagine they thought that maybe a guy like RG3 would have been released, and instead he was kept by the Baltimore Ravens, which meant that now we have to go to the waiver wire to find somebody who can come in and be a backup who has a low number. Because the low number is the key here. You know, you're talking about NFL quarterbacks playing for under $1 million behind Case Keenum. So that's certainly something that is something that is desirable for every NFL organization, because who doesn't want a backup quarterback who doesn't cost you a lot of money but can come in a pinch and get some things done?
What does this move say about Chad Kelly in your eyes, Big Al?
Well, to me, Chad Kelly is a third-string quarterback. I think that's what he is, and you know. But Kevin Hogan's not far from that either. You know, I'm not singing praises of Kevin Hogan. There's a reason that he was on the chopping block as well. You know, he was a great college quarterback at Stanford, but I've been doing my due diligence on the college game, and it's so much different than the pro game. I don't know if I can even evaluate. I have to go back to my whole evaluation metrics to find out whether or not what I'm looking at is comparable to the NFL, because I sat in the end zone with the CU-CSU game and the hash marks, man. I mean, they make an absolute difference. But we know Kevin Hogan at least will sit down, do the work, okay, he'll go in the virtual reality mode and try to get as much done as he possibly can.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, everything that Paxton Lynch doesn't have, Kevin Hogan does, in terms of those intangibles, in terms of his intelligence and work ethic,
toughness,
and all that sort of stuff. I mean,
I love that. I love that word right there, D-Mac, intelligence. You know, because if you don't know that you could be in line to make more than $33 million per year as a quarterback if you're the starter, then you don't have your head on straight. Because at the end of the day, it's about winning championships and making a lot of money doing it. And Paxton Lynch didn't have the desire to do that. So therefore, it told me that he didn't have football intelligence. Because if nothing else, you get paid a lot of money to do something that you love, and apparently he doesn't love this.
Why do you think it took so long?
You know, I think that John, I think actually now that it's done, I think John actually did a good job, because what happened was that he exhausted every opportunity that Paxton Lynch was allotted. And once that allotment was done, then he looked to move against the grain and go away from Paxton Lynch. And because of that, I applaud him, because it's not easy saying that it didn't work out. I drafted a guy in the first round of an NFL draft, and it didn't work out. Did not make it to year three of a first-round contract that's guaranteed. So I applaud him for that, but he gave it every chance. He gave Paxton Lynch every chance to make this team. And because of that, I'm okay with it. Now, if he would have been on that roster tomorrow at 3 o'clock when we started our show, I was ready to get down. But since he did it today and took care of business, then we can move on and say all we have to now do is make Royce Freeman the starting running back, and I think we're on the right page.
I think that does happen tomorrow, by the way, Big Al, as the depth chart will be released tomorrow. What about the people around you? Because we know with Paxton Lynch, he always had the yes men, the you're doing great, you're doing fine, whether it was friends or family or what have you. He never had anyone to challenge him on a personal level.
Who cares, though, now?
Are you asking a question about
Paxton Lynch?
Shouldn't you have
Paxton
that,
Lynch
Big
is
Al?
a cut quarterback like a million other guys who are cut quarterbacks for the Broncos.
Right. This is a history lesson. And, Big Al, shouldn't you have those people around you? Didn't you have people around you telling you, like, hey, do this, watch out for this, go here, do that?
No. No, as a matter of fact, I had a lot of guys around me, including my agents, that were telling me, all these guys, you know, you just got to find better. Everybody who's in the business of propping you up is in the business for propping you up to stay employed. So everybody around you is telling you falsities that cannot be substantiated, because they need to stay employed too. Now, if my agents are telling me that I'm doing terrible and you need to step it up, and I'm like, wait a minute, man, they're getting on me and you're getting on me. No, that's not the way it works. The agent does nothing but stroke your confidence and tell you everything that's going right and say, I wish they would cut me in a situation like that when your contract is already guaranteed. You'll find a better situation if they do. That's what an agent does. That's what people around your family does. They tell the people around your family, they tell you all of the things that you need to hear to get your confidence up. But a reality check is this. Here's what the NFL is in a reality check. Go into your locker room. See how your friends in the locker room treat you. See how the people on the other side of the ball treat you. See what their opinion is about you, and that should take precedent over everybody else that you knew coming into the NFL. because they know what good looks like and they know what bad looks like. And the one thing that I can say very proudly around here in Denver that we know better than any other position is quarterback and safety. There is no other two positions on involved in football that we own better than quarterback and safety in this NFL. Okay, so when we get a good quarterback, we know what it looks like. When we get a good safety, we know what it looks like. And he didn't fit the bill.
Appreciate it, Alfred. Have a great weekend, and we'll be talking about it tomorrow afternoon.
Sounds good, guys.
Thank you, Alfred Williams. Really quick before we go to break, Megan, what do you think, Megan?
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener. I love listening to you guys. As a fan, I'm ecstatic today. I'm ecstatic, to be honest with you. And it's sad to say that the Broncos have a bust, and I'm ecstatic about it, but they admitted it. And you guys kept saying, don't compound your mistake by making another mistake. And I was livid yesterday when I saw Henderson walk out, who's way better than Booker. We all know it. But I knew they weren't going to get rid of Booker, and then Lynch stays. And so seeing Lynch go is just relief. Just know that we can start fresh and that Elway will make a mistake and admit it. And that was the part as a fan I need to see. It was sad that Lynch didn't get excited until he was a third stringer. I mean, I didn't see passion from the kid at all. And his reputation of coming in, you know, late, leaving early, playing video games, none of that sits well with a fan, obviously. And Kelly is totally 180. It's totally different. So I'm excited. And D-Mac, I thought of you right when Kevin Hogan got taken. D-Mac, I remember D-Mac, you know, hitting the table for him. So I'm excited for that. I'm excited for you, D-Mac. And let's go Broncos. Let's go.
All right. Thank you, Megan. Couldn't say it better than myself. It took a couple years to get to this point, but it's there. I love it personally. I hated the Paxton Lynch pick. Kind of from the you and Alfred were very excited. And I understand why. And I shouldn't say I hated it. I hated the Chubb pick. I hated the Paxton Lynch thing eventually because I did some research into quarterbacks who were drafted
in the 20s.
And it's miserable.
Yeah.
I mean, it
outside
is
of Aaron Rodgers,
miserable.
Miss after miss.
It's unbelievable. And there's only 11 teams that have done it in NFL history. And the two teams that have done it the most are the Broncos. Whedon, Manziel, Quinn, Tebow, Paxton Lynch, Tommy Maddox. If you're going to get a quarterback in the first round, you got to take him low. If not, you're probably best to wait a little bit and wait for that fourth or fifth round, to be quite honest with you. And hopefully one of those guys developed. And that is why I thought the drafting of RG3 and Kirk Cousins by Mike Shanahan was absolute genius. And even when they drafted Paxton Lynch in 2016, I was like, Hogan, 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 Hogan. We could have, should have had this a couple years ago. But we got it now. It took some time.
We're here.
Dilly dilly.
No sleep till...
It is Cecil Lammy and D-Mac with our reaction live to the release of Paxton Lynch, and we go to our VIP line. For my partner in crime, of course, he is Mike Pritchard on a VIP line talking about Paxton Lynch getting cut. Pritch, are you shocked by this move? What is your initial reaction when you hear the news that the Broncos part ways with Paxton Lynch?
Well, and with the fifth pick of the waiver wire draft, the Broncos select
Kevin Hogan.
Right. So they get the quarterback anyway, D-Mac, with the fifth overall pick of the waiver wire draft. I mean, it had to happen, fellas. I mean, you can't have that guy on your roster. I mean, I don't care how people try to dress it up, how the media tried to dress it up a little bit, whoever chose to do that. You could. I mean, you got guys that lost their jobs yesterday.
Right.
Day before. That should have and deserved the right to be on the roster for a guy that, okay, what is he doing? I mean, he's not going to get reps. He's not going to get better. So it was probably a matter of time. And the fact that Elway talked about talking to veterans, yeah, to me, that just told me it was a matter of time before they made a move there.
Yeah, I think that was the most startling thing from yesterday's press conference is when he said we had talked to veterans. Do you think they initially have Paxton Lynch make the 53-man roster because they're making phone calls last night, just a last-ditch effort to trade him? Do you think that happened?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what was going on. You know, you try to create a market like they did in that fourth preseason game, letting Paxton run his style of offense, something that he's comfortable with and something that he's happy with. And,
you hope there's a team out there that bites on that, you know, a team that might run a similar offense and could see and envision Paxton Lynch someday becoming their guy. But that wasn't the case. So now you go to waiver wire and you find a guy that you're familiar with. I mean, we know Hogan from Stanford. And I heard Al earlier, you know, football and college football is completely different than the National Football League, but not Shaw, not Stanford. That's a pro-style offense.
Right.
And so you're running a West Coast-style offense. You know, this is something that Hogan is familiar with. You know, he has the halfback, Cecil. He had Christian McCaffrey, the ultimate halfback.
Yep.
So to me, you know, not only does this move make a lot of sense, it goes back in line with what the Broncos want to do with fit. They've all about fit now, but more so than the best athlete. Hogan fits with the Denver Broncos, and Hogan fits with the philosophy on offense. I mean, you got Philip Lindsay as a halfback. It tells you there how highly they think of that guy, too, and how much part of this offense Philip Lindsay really is going to be.
You know, to me, Pritch, I think who your coaches are makes a big difference in how you perform. I think the Browns, the Browns haven't had much of anything. So to evaluate any player from their time with the Cleveland Browns is probably questionable. With coaching that is more in line with where he came from in the first place, just talk about what you think you can expect out of the development of Kevin Hogan, meaning is he your backup, not Chad Kelly?
Well, I don't think he's going to be your backup initially. I think they're going to give him a chance to develop. And, you know, he's going on year three. And really, D-Mac, if you're talking about a quarterback and the development time, you know, here's where Hogan needs to make strides. And is if can he get to another level? I mean, we saw it was remarkable, really, to see Chad Kelly go to the levels that he reached so far. He hasn't even played football. So, to me, the Broncos are in a great situation when you're talking about developing quarterbacks. Now, Case Keenum is their starter. He's not their franchise guy. He still has to prove that. But if Case Keenum does not prove that, then the Broncos have already started the process of developing the next guy, and you'll see how it goes. I don't think the Broncos are out of the searching for the quarterback business, but at the same time, as you're trying to be competitive in 2018, at least now you are starting that time and really getting involved with developing the next quarterback.
It's Cecil Lammy and D-Mac talking about Paxton Lynch being cut by the Denver Broncos on the VIP line. Mike Pritchard, you hear him every day, Monday through Friday, on Pritchard and Cecil from 9 a.m. to noon. Pritch, why did it take so long? Why did we have to get to this? Why did we have to get to this moment with Paxton Lynch? What was the reasons in your eyes as to why the decision took so long?
Well, as a player, man, you know, even as a first-rounder, Cecil, I can appreciate the Denver Broncos. I actually appreciate John Elway for giving Paxton Lynch every opportunity to grow up, to mature, to understand the position that he could have and opportunities that he does have. But he never got to that point. So at some point, you got to cut bait. You just got to cut that line and let it go because you don't want that guy or one person or a group of people to bring down your entire team. And he was teetering on that. I think the time frame to make the move was now. And so why did it take so long? I think it was the perfect time frame. I mean, the Broncos are in this situation. Paxton Lynch didn't understand the gravity of the situation, and so now you got to go a different way.
Okay, so now who are the Denver Broncos, Mike? What are they now? What has John Elway had to basically admit?
Well, he's got the biggest bust in Broncos history, maybe.
Maybe, right?
I mean, I don't know. Right. That might be a part of his Super Bowl legacy. It's Peyton Manning, and you know you're going to discuss the bad years as well, and that's something that you have to accept if you're going to be president of football operations / GM. I mean, that's going to happen. It's happened to the best of them. So welcome to the club, John Elway, from that regard, but. Who are the Broncos? I don't know. I can't answer that right now. We're about to find out against Seattle. But I do believe that they've upgraded. I do believe they've stabilized their situations. And now you got a coach and players got to play. I mean, D-Mac is that simple at this point. They got enough talent to compete. Now they got a coach and now they got to play. And we'll see what happens in 2018.
Pritch, doesn't this emphasize what we saw in the draft?
I mean, aren't we seeing a new leaf turned over for the Denver Broncos in the way they're evaluating talent? Because the mistakes of 2016 are being erased. The mistakes of 2017 are being erased. And the 2018 class, even undrafted guys like Philip Lindsay, look remarkable.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, I think when you look back on the last 2 years, when you get to 5-11, you have to look back and say, okay, how did we get to 5-11? We didn't draft very well. We didn't evaluate very well. We were fat and happy with our Super Bowls, and we didn't pay attention. And so now you see when the Broncos pay attention, you know, you get Coach Kubiak back, you really hone in on a philosophy, and you stay true to that philosophy, and now you perform well. So to me, the front office did their part in 2018. Now it falls on the coaching staff. Can they do their part, get this group competitive and winning games? And then ultimately on the players. Can the players buy in and buy in hard enough to go out there on Sundays and win games?
Yeah, I think that's another thing, too, that's important. That this is a message to the rest of the team, isn't it? We're not gonna be too proud. I'll give John credit eventually that you didn't hang on. I thought you hung on a little bit too long. But at the end of the day, you know, the players aren't walking into a locker room knowing somebody shouldn't be on the team that is.
Right, right. And you're right to that point, D-Mac. I mean, they could have traded Paxton before all this started. I think there probably would have been a market back then because, you know, Cecil and I talk about this all the time. The unknown in the National Football League is more valuable than the known. But so now that you have the known commodity of Paxton Lynch, there's no value there. But before, maybe there was still some intrigue and some curiosity about Paxton, and you might have got a late rounder for him, but you drag it out this way just to see and kick that final tire to see if Paxton was going to pan out. But he didn't. So you ultimately have to move on, and the Broncos did the right move.
All right, great job, Pritch. We'll listen to you tomorrow with Cecil. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, Mike Pritchard, Cecil Lammy. On from 9 to noon every single day. When I think of the circle of Paxton Lynch, first of all, I think of you traded up to get him. And then I think, which was shocking, I did not know the history of how bad quarterbacks in the 20s actually were until afterwards. But it's bad. So it shows that you probably didn't do the research in terms of NFL history you needed to do, and you over-evaluated him. And then he comes in, and it's just like, it's just not really happening, but you're a rookie, and, you know.
2 to 3 year project is what everyone said.
Everybody said that.
And see, he seemed happy with the red shirt.
Don't forget, who was supposed to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos Paxton Lynch's rookie year?
Supposed to be Mark Sanchez.
It was supposed to be Mark Sanchez.
And they tried to make a Case Keenum, but the Rams wouldn't trade him.
Let's face it, the only reason we got Paxton Lynch or we're in this situation is because the Broncos bungled the Brock Osweiler situation horrifically. Paxton Lynch was never supposed to be here. It was supposed to be Brock Osweiler. They screwed it up. I agree. The arrival of Kevin Hogan resembles more closely this 2018 draft class. It more accurately reflects the maturity of Gary Kubiak in terms of laying things out. I will never forget, I mean ever, Gary Kubiak promising Paxton Lynch and Trevor Siemian would split time.
Well, initially it was Lynch is going to play the game. Then it was they split time, and then the game happened and Lynch didn't see the field.
What an indictment of the situation where they were leading 24-0 in the third quarter. And Gary Kubiak still didn't play Paxton Lynch. You've got to, and then you have Bill Musgrave talking about 8-play Paxton. You know, plays on a sheet this year. And then you had Rick Dennison ripping on Paxton Lynch for, you know, not knowing the plays or in his own bitter, weird Rick Dennison way of things. But you're seeing just, you know, a decision made by John Elway and Matt Russell that just didn't jibe with hardly anybody. It was a panic move. It was done out of more heart than head. And it just bit them as about as hard as you possibly can. We're seeing a better draft class this year. There's no doubt about it. You're seeing a good player, like a good solid guy in the room, like Kevin Hogan being brought in. We like Case Keenum. It's a significant change, Cecil. A significant change. And I'm sure it was a tough deal for John Elway to make this move because it's the ultimate admission that, boy, did I get that one wrong. But that's okay as long as you do things that make you better. We've lived through the horrific 5-11 season, and we just don't want to see this organization repeat itself in that circle. And I think today went a long way philosophically in straightening it out. And so when I say this is one of the best moves I've ever seen the Broncos make, it's not just for player. It's a whole philosophy of how we want to be, which is positive. It makes sense. And to move on and admit you had one of the worst busts in Broncos history is a tough moment for a GM. So I'm not surprised they pushed it as far as they possibly could. Okay. Phone lines are open at 303-713-1043. We're also on Facebook Live. Now, we got some questions on Facebook Live. So if you go to Facebook Live right now, which you can at 1043thefan.com, we'll be answering questions even during the break. But a great time for you to get on hold. We'll still look forward to hearing from Mark Schlereth. We'll look forward to hearing from Brandon Stokely. It's DMACC with Cecil Lammy on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.